In a neck-and-neck race, Dan Henry wins a Skagway Assembly seat, and a former Skagway tribal administrator signs a guilty plea admitting to embezzlement. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Dan Henry has won a Skagway Assembly seat by a razor-thin margin. The race was too close to call after Tuesday's vote. Henry had received 153 votes. Write-in candidate Philip Clark was just 7 votes behind. Another write-in candidate, Roger Griffin, was also close with 125 votes. The canvas board tallied 74 early voting mail-in and question ballots Thursday afternoon. In the final count, Henry eked out a victory by 5 votes. He received 174 to Clark's 169. Griffin ended up with 149. The other assembly seat was handily won by write-in David Brenna. He earned 311 votes. The remaining ballots also solidify write-in challenger Monica Carlson's victory over incumbent mayor Mark Schaefer. Carlson earned 288 votes to Schaefer's 223. Soon-to-be Assemblyman Henry served in Skagway government for about 19 years until last fall, when he was required to report to federal prison for failing to pay income taxes. Henry has also been reprimanded by the Alaska Public Offices Commission twice. The commission found him in violation of candidate disclosure laws in 2016 and 2017. There is a third complaint against Henry pending with APOC now. Clark was a political newcomer. He launched a write-in campaign after seeing the sparse field of candidates for 2 open assembly seats. The election results are set to be certified at tonight's Skagway Assembly meeting. Henry, Brenna, and Carlson's first assembly meeting in their new seats will be October 19th. A former Skagway tribal administrator has signed a guilty plea admitting to embezzlement. Delia Commander used tribal government funds to pay for things like gambling and personal travel. Commander worked as administrator of the Skagway Traditional Council between 2008 and 2014. Her unauthorized purchases were discovered when a new administrator took over. She was indicted by an Anchorage grand jury in May. In the plea agreement signed late last month, Commander admits to 1 of 4 embezzlement charges. In return for pleading guilty to embezzlement from an Indian tribal organization, the U.S. Attorney's Office will dismiss 3 charges of embezzling from an organization receiving federal funding. The two parties agree that Commander caused a loss of between $250,000 and $550,000. The Skagway Traditional Council receives the majority of its funding from the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. The council also gets project funding from the EPA. The plea deal says Commander misused more than $250,000 in tribal funds over a 4-year period. She spent tribal money on school tuition, gambling, credit card debt, and a trip to Hawaii with her daughter. Commander's sentence will be determined at an Anchorage hearing December 14th. It is a joint change of plea hearing and sentencing. The maximum penalty for the charge against her is 5 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release. The deal also says Commander agrees to pay at least $250,000 in restitution to the Skagway Traditional Council. The full amount will be determined at the sentencing. Commander left the Traditional Council in 2014 and now lives in Oregon. This summer, a popular water source in Haines tested positive for E. coli. The Mud Bay Spring is not regulated by the borough and is not regularly tested, but it's where a lot of people get their drinking water. And as KHNS's Abby Collins reports, some residents are not planning to stop.
So a lot of people will come out here to collect water in jugs and use that as drinking water. We're almost here. See if anyone is out here right now.
The so-called spring is on Mud Bay Road, just before Letnikoff Cove. 2 pipes stick out of the hillside with rocks built up around them. It looks pretty official, but it's not. I drove out to the spring on a summer afternoon to take a sample of the water. I got there just as a bunch of tourists were finishing up. The visitors were sipping the water out of paper cups.
All right. This one is for arsenic. And this one I have to be careful with because there's acid in the bottom of it for preservative.
I also tested for nitrates, nitrites, and total coliforms.
I have a pair of rubber gloves that the lab sent me so that we don't contaminate the sample.
Rayanne Galasso is filling up several buckets of water and loading them into the back of her car. She says she's been drinking this water for a long time.
And sometimes for cleaning, you know, because I have a dry cabin, so it's all this water. And I've been using it for over 20 years, and my plants do really well, my house plants. I like it. And tastes great.
But she says it is concerning that it's not tested. And that concerned me, too. I sent samples to the Juneau-based water testing company Admiralty Environmental. The lab results show no significant levels of arsenic, nitrates, or nitrites. But they did find E. coli. The test doesn't show what strain of the bacteria is present. Cindy Christian is a drinking water specialist at the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. She says E. coli is not always bad for you. There are strains that are harmful, but some that are benign.
But they're all associated with fecal matter that comes from mammals and some other organisms. Birds and things can carry E. coli also. So in drinking water, they are not supposed to be there at all.
Christian says E. coli is an indicator bacteria. It could mean other nasty stuff is in the water too, like salmonella or giardia. With waterborne diseases like these, Christian says the symptoms are usually gastrointestinal. You might have diarrhea, abdominal cramping, or lose your appetite. Some strains can cause more severe health problems. Let's back up a bit to how we came to test the water. We asked listeners to send us things they've always wondered about this area. One person sent a question asking, is the Mud Bay Spring really a spring? Or should it be called the Mud Bay Runoff? I grabbed a friend and hiked into the woods, trying to trace the pipes and creeks to the source.
I see the pipe.
Really?
Oh no, it's just a stick. False alarm.
We failed. Couldn't find it. So I dug back further into the water's history. Haines resident Randy McDonald says he's the one that put in the pipes and built up the rock around them. McDonald didn't want to be recorded for this story. He said he installed the pipes in the mid-1980s. McDonald says people were already getting water at the spot, but he made improvements to increase the water flow. Someone did take measures to keep animals away from the water, but the fencing has fallen over since then. Christian with the DEC says Haines isn't alone here. She's come across similar unregulated drinking water sources around the state. She says in terms of monitoring water quality, it doesn't really matter whether it's a spring or runoff.
Springs are usually treated as surface water also, so even if it were a natural spring, it would still may not be suitable for drinking water unless it's treated.
She says the safest bet for people who want to keep drinking the water is to boil it. But many residents who have depended on the water source for years aren't scared away by the E. coli. Crystal Norberg lives out Mud Bay and is even more reliant on the water because she has a dry cabin.
I've drank it for 10 years. I've never gotten sick, nor have I ever known anyone to have gotten sick.
After we reported on the presence of E. coli in the water, the Haines Borough started looking into testing it. At a recent meeting, the Assembly voted unanimously to conduct a test. But Christian says no matter how many tests you do, one thing isn't likely to change. She says because the so-called spring is untreated surface water exposed to elements and wildlife, it's always likely to have bacteria like E. coli. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.